Hi, and welcome to the first Friends with Fantasy Benefits Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name's Andrew Dewhurst, and I'm going to be your host. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew K. Dewhurst. On today's show, we're going to be taking a look at going through some value calculations that I've gone through and posted out to the world on Twitter in the last week. We're going to take some looks at forwards, defensemen, and take a look at players under 24. So as we get started, I just want to talk about what makes up this value calculation and why it's a tool that we make use of. So what I've done is I've taken, I've gone to Hockey Reference, where they are good enough to make their statistics available to export yourself. Taken those, I bring them into an Excel sheet, and then I make up my own calculation so I can weight goals and assists and all of the points that I need to make use of. In this case, what I'm doing is I've taken the Yahoo standard scoring format, which makes use of goals, assists, plus minus, penalty minutes, power play points, and shots, weighted those together, come up with a number, and that allows me to be able to sort to get to come up with the rankings so that I can make use of this for myself to understand where there's value, and also send this out to you so that we also have things to talk about, and we've got different rankings as the season progresses. So jumping in, taking a look at this, from looking at defensemen first, you know, the obvious names jump out where we see some differences in value between what we look at when we just look at the regular stat sheet, when we're looking at the fantasy values. So, number one for defensemen right now is Drew Doughty. No huge surprise there. He's among the defenseman leaders in points. Solid plus minus with plus 13. He's giving you some penalty minutes. And he gets lots of power play time as well as, you know, lots of ice time. So, you know, we know that's solid. The one that I think is going to be a little bit surprising to people, but probably shouldn't be, is that Dustin Byfuglien's still sitting at number three because of penalty minutes. You know, he's got 47, whereas, you know, Doughty, who's two positions in front of him, only has 18. He also puts out lots of shots still with, he's got 66 so far, despite not scoring a goal yet and only having 13 points. So this is, you know, important things to remember when we're actually talking about overall value. But as we move through this and I go down the list, you know, next big name that jumps out, and this is one that I talked about preseason, was Shane Gostisbehere, coming into the list at number eight. Big bounce back year so far, 20 points. He's a flat zero in your plus minus. But getting a big boost in power play points with 10 so far, as well as adding 64 shots to keep those numbers moving up. Moving down, you know, other names that I see, a name that I spoke negatively in early in the year and one that I continue to not want to invest too much in, and that's Chris Letang. 20 points so far. He's come back really well from his previous injuries. He is 30 now. He's been hurt, it seems, for every year for the last three. So he's got some risk associated to him, especially while he's maintaining, you know, 25 and a half minutes per night on for the Penguins. Next down for him, from him, Mikhail Sergachev. If you're a Montreal Canadiens fan, you have to feel a little bit snake bitten by this trade right now. You know, Canadiens forever struggling to develop prospects. They finally get a good prospect. He gets traded, and he's outperforming Jonathan Drouin, who they got in return. But, you know, Sergachev, 18 points. He's a plus seven. Not offering, giving you some penalty minutes, but not a lot. Getting the power play time. So, I mean, for a guy that you probably got really late in your drafts, he's been a revelation as, Tampa continues to stack up the points as they're just killing it so far this year. Moving down a little bit further from there, we see the Renaissance year from Keith Yandel. Wrote about him earlier this week. He's been so steady the last few years. 40, you can book him for 40 points, which makes great draft value. He's at 16 so far this year. Getting the power play time, seeing lots of time on the ice. So Keith Yandel looks pretty steady. And then, as we continue to move down the list, it's hard to imagine that we would find Brett Burns, sitting as the 30th ranked defenseman so far. But with only 12 points and a minus player, that's why we're seeing him ranked so poorly. But I mean, you got to believe in his shots. He's already got 100 shots so far, only scoring on 1% of those. So that number's going to come back. I'm still buying on Brett Burns if anyone wants to sell. The Sharks aren't going to be great, but I think you can still believe in Brent Burns and what he's doing because there's still enough talent on the team. I just don't think that they're going to necessarily be in the playoff hunt long term in the West. So let's jump back and let's take a look at the forwards. We've hit on quite a few defense names. And, in this list, the biggest surprise that jumps out to me is sitting at number two. Number one's Nikita Kucherov. No surprise there. 38 points in 26 games. Just that the line of Kucherov, Stamkos, and Nemestikov is just lighting the world on fire right now. So we shouldn't see any surprises there. Phil Kessel sits at number two. 33 points, 28 games. He's putting up some penalty minutes, as surprisingly many of the Penguins are. While he also has got 14 power play points. I mean, I feel like I've forever been down on Phil Kessel. But since his move out of Toronto and into Pittsburgh and out of the limelight, he's been as advertised, and that's he scores points. Typically, he scores goals in bunches, but with enough talent around him, he's starting to, become a better playmaker and be more consistent. Jakub Voracek checks in here at number five. That's a bit of a surprise. I don't think anyone drafted Jakub Voracek as being the fifth best forward and fourth best right winger this year. But him along with Claude Giroux on that line in Philadelphia have been getting things done. Another guy that's putting up penalty minutes for you, 33 points, 26 penalty minutes. Lots of shots and sitting out with a very sustainable 7.2% shooting percentage. So, while I would love to see the 7 goals go up, you have to be encouraged by the 26 assists, as well as the very well-rounded play. Moving down through here, other names jumping out. Obviously, we've got the big year from Braden Schenn so far. Not too much to talk about there. Shooting percentage probably a little bit high, so I wouldn't necessarily expect the goal scoring to keep up, but St. Louis has been fantastic, and sitting on the line with Tarasenko should keep the points coming there. Continuing to move down here, we see Sidney Crosby coming in a little lower than probably where we would have expected to see him, doing it in ways that probably we weren't expecting to see. He's sitting at 14. Good news for Crosby is he's played all of the games so far. He's got 28 games played. He's got 29 points, so he's still better than a point a game. We don't expect to see Crosby as a minus player, and I think that's going to correct itself over time. But the biggest surprise so far for me is the 32 penalty minutes. You know, Crosby's reputation is one that whines to the refs, but you know, the 32 penalty minutes is largely part of the big crackdown on slashing this year, where Crosby is obviously an offender. If anyone out there is an Ottawa Senators fan, I think you can understand where that's coming from. You know, the other big surprise is that you find Connor McDavid 5 points lower. You know, still putting up the points with 32, but 32 and 27 games, which is still fantastic. And by no means should anyone think of Connor McDavid as anything but the most exciting player in hockey. If you haven't seen him play up close, you're missing out, and you need to, you know, the next time you can find the Oilers playing on your television set, you need to find a way to see it. It's like nothing I've seen in a long time. In these rankings, though, McDavid gets hurt by a plus minus. Obviously, not a big penalty minute guy, but you expect to also see more power play points from him. Of those 32 points, only 4 so far have come on the power play. So expect some correction to happen there with him. Austin Matthews, also a guy that sits a little bit low on this list, coming in at 22. We've got, you know, 26 points plus 12. Gets hurt a little bit by penalty minutes, but, you know, obviously makes up for it with premium production. 26 points, 24 games. Not on the pace of the league leaders right now, but obviously... I think Matthews is a player you can believe in long term. Then we get into some guys that I think you've gotten great value out of so far. We've got a grouping here of very similarly ranked guys, and that's Vincent Trocheck, Jonathan Marchessault, and Anders Lee. Marchessault, you know, proving that his last year with the Panthers wasn't a fluke. You know, 25 points so far for the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, he's kind of doing it all for you so far. He's got giving you some penalty minutes. He's giving you some power play points. Shots are a little bit low, but we have to keep in mind. I'm looking at the wrong line. He's actually got quite a few shots, 84 points. Shots in 23 games is pretty high. The next guy I want to talk about is Vincent Trocheck, another player with the Panthers, sitting at a point a game. If he's in your lineup and you've been able to get your hands on him, you've got great value here. It's most encouraging about Trocheck. It's great that he's a point a game, but it looks very sustainable as he's seeing 21 and a quarter minutes a night with the Panthers. Very sustainable 11% shooting percentage. We might see it dip a little bit, which will probably put Trocheck in the 25 to 30 goal range. But again, great for a guy that you were either picking up late in your drafts or getting off waivers. The other guy that's sitting in the same range is Anders Lee. A huge benefactor to getting to play with Jonathan Tavares. However, he has 28 points, with 16 of those coming as goals, on 25% shooting percentage. That number is going to come way down. So enjoy those goals while you've gotten them so far. And, you know, if you've got somebody who's looking to buy, this is a case where the points are going to be there. I expect those are going to maintain with him playing with Tavares, but expect the goals to plateau at some point this year. As no one, he's not going to be a, he's not going to score on 1 in 4 shots that he puts on net. Moving down this a little bit further, we get to, you know, probably the first really big disappointment so far, and that's Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn was in most cases going in the top 10 in drafts. Only 23 points so far. That's definitely been disappointing. Benn does still provide you with the penalty minutes. And he has actually chipped in 5 power play points. So it's not all bad. You're just not seeing the point production out of somebody that you were expecting. So definitely a guy to hold on to. He's proven to have chemistry with Tyler Seguin, so I wouldn't expect that to change. So probably a guy to see rebound. You know, as we continue to move down our list here, you know, we get a little bit further away, and we're starting to get, you know, into our different tiers of players as, you know, we start to run into some other guys that maybe we weren't expecting to be a top 50. And I mean, William Karlsson for the Golden Knights. I don't think anyone was predicting this kind of production out of him, as he's almost at a point a game. You know, been a plus player for them. I mean, I don't think anyone's actually expected the Golden Knights to be what they've been so far, but certainly another guy where if you've gotten the production, that's great. Another crazy high shooting percentage at 25%. So don't, certainly you shouldn't be buying on those goals maintaining throughout the year. But at this point, it's hard to see. I mean, he's going to hit at least 20 or 25, but don't expect the numbers to move in line with how, what he's done so far. So let's move on and take a look at the players that are under 24. This was something that I posted in. I posted this on Twitter. I also put it up in the FWFB discussion group, which definitely got some attention. And I think it's largely because there's a lot of surprise here. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are, you know, when they're looking at the player, the top players under 25, they're expecting the big names to stay at the top. And in some cases, that's not what's happened, is that the highly, you know, the highly thought of prospects so far this year haven't necessarily been that. You know, just to read out the top 10, right? We've got Kucherov, we've got Johnny Gaudreau, we've got Mark Scheifele, Philip Forsberg, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Vincent Trocheck, Nathan MacKinnon, Sean Monahan, Jonathan Huberdeau, Alexander Barkov, Brock Bosner. You know, to go through the top 12. But where we get, you know, we get some surprises in that we're not expecting, you know, we're not expecting Jack Eichhoff to be the 26th best player in this type of ranking. We're not expecting to see Patrick Laine down at 17. So, but this is, you know, we're talking about production. We're not talking about just points scored. And in these cases, these are players that just haven't performed up to expectations. I mean, I talked preseason about Line A being a 50 goal scorer. That's not happening this year. He's got 13 goals on a 17.8% shooting percentage, but the volume's not there. And that's partially because, you know, the Jets played well. But the number one line with Shifley and Wheeler has been fantastic in the reading. Those guys are getting more time on the ice. So that's hurt Laine a little bit. As well as his equally young line mate, Nikolaj Ehlers, who's, got a reasonable amount of points with 21. But against they're sitting at 16 minutes a night. So even with their shooting percentages at 15 and 17 respectively, the volume's just not going to be there. So, definitely guys to keep an eye on. Shifley, I mean, Shifley and Wheeler are legit, and they should definitely be thought of as so. So without some injury to see the ice time tick up quite a bit. I think those guys in Winnipeg definitely need to have some expectations tempered a little bit. Jack Eichel just seems to right now be caught in what seems to be the never-ending bad situation in Buffalo. Getting lots of time, but the production's just not there. 20 points in 27 minutes. Personally, I'm not sure what the problem is in Buffalo. The talent's there, but for whatever reason, the production is not. Some other guys, as I go through and I look at this, Matthew Tkachuk, a guy that I'm a big believer in, production point wise hasn't been there. He's hurt himself with some less than admirable play as of late, which is giving him some penalty minutes, but it's gonna be keeping him off the ice. Also a 16 minute a night guy. And that's one of the important things to keep in mind with these guys as well is, even when the skills are there, sometimes the maturity isn't. So, don't give up on some of these players too early, especially, when you like what you see. Definitely guys you got to stick with. I mean, Sebastian Aho, another guy that's a little bit lower down on the list. People were expecting a lot more from him. So, he's down all the way at 34 in this list. Aho and Teuvo Teravainen had a great week or so. But outside of that, things was slowed down. 19 points, not terrible. Probably getting you about what you should be from him. Still a really talented player, and the Hurricanes have struggled at, and they've dealt with their fair share of turmoil with the sale, or what probably felt like forever. This team is trying to be sold, and now it has been. Another player to stick with, keep an eye on, and certainly not to sell on quite yet. Moving down a little bit further, Leon Draisaitl certainly hasn't matched the production of what he did in the playoffs, and he's been hurt as well. Again, not bad production. We're talking about 19 points in 23 games. He's a plus player. He started to see time with McDavid in Edmonton, and certainly the 18 minutes a game is very promising for him. So, keep your head up with Draisaitl. He's going to come back. Likely you'll see, as he starts to play better and take some of that pressure off of McDavid, you'll see the Oilers start to play better along with it. Right below him is last year's first round pick, Nico Hischier. Not bad production, 18 points in 26. In 26 games, for this young Swiss kid, certainly a smooth skater. And what he's done looks so far like it's probably going to keep up. So you can probably look at him for maybe 50 points this year on a surprising Devils team. Certainly doesn't look like a player that's going to be in that running for the Calder, as you know, at this point. Brock Boeser and Clayton Keller are your real contenders in that space. So moving forward, definitely, I'm not certain if he sure is going to. He's probably never going to be superstar. I mean, the important thing to keep in mind when we look at drafts is not just that guys went first overall, but all drafts are not equal. We've had some great high-end talent go in the last few years, with, obviously Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid. But also that, certainly he sure is not in that class. And I mean, it's also remember that it takes guys a little while to develop, and certainly he sure is life has, as a 19-year-old, he's moved around a lot, coming over from Switzerland, spending a couple of years in Halifax, and now spending his time in New Jersey. That can be a lot for someone of that age as well. So it takes some time to develop, and sometimes you see that reward a little bit later, as you're starting to see now from Nathan MacKinnon, who another previous first overall pick, right now is up to inside the top 10 for players under 24, as he's now over a point a game, and starting to get things turned around for that Avalanche team, who's certainly starting to play a lot better in a very tough Western Conference. So, couple other things just to bring up as some notes. You can continue to look forward to seeing my weekly "What Happened Last Week" column. Typically, those are dropping for you between Tuesday and Thursday. I'm trying to do them in that spacing, so you can consistently see that. And that's been a lot of fun so far this year, as it's been consistently different players. And as we move forward with this podcast, I'm looking forward to getting some great guests booked to come on with me, so you can hear more than just my voice, and get a little bit more interaction going back and forth. And we'll see how it goes from there. Obviously, love to hear from you guys. Anything you want to see, certainly feel free to hit me up on Twitter. If you're in the Friends with Fantasy Bets discussion group, feel free to ask questions. I'm always up for a good conversation, and to answer any questions you might have. So, thank you for your time, and I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Have a great fantasy hockey season.